This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Graves far side, he gives it away, Backlund steals and drops.
Good forecheck by Bax, and you know, he passed to me and he just put it in.
Jared Govan shoots and scores! What a shot by Yegor Sharangovich! And that will do it. The sea of red rises. The Flames win one for Kipper.
No Tanev, no problem. Okay, maybe it wasn't that simple, but the Calgary Flames found a way to give Mika Kiprusoff the kind of victory he deserved on his special night at the Scotiabank Saddle. They'll make it five straight for the Calgary Flames, who, give them credit, despite all the noise, despite missing now during the season Nikita Zadorov, Elias Lindholm, and Chris Tanev, just continue to go out there and give it their all on a night-to-night basis. They can make it six straight on Monday night when they welcome in their Pacific Division rivals, the Seattle Kraken. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. It's Logan Gordon along with you. We are live in the Doug Lacy's Basement Systems downtown studios. For our good friends at Doug Lacy's Basement Systems, Crack Foundation, Boeing Foundation Walls, they have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Welcome to Trade Deadline Week. It is here. We are days away. Friday, full coverage of Trade Deadline right here on Sportsnet 960. The big show, Sportsnet Today. I'm going to have primetime Peter Klein riding along with me. We'll take you all the way up until the deadline. Flames talk with Steinberg. Anything and everything trade deadline. We've got you covered right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. It's also a game day today for those Calgary Flames. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska, Oliver Shillington, and Jonathan Huberto on a game day. We'll take a look at the opposition. Our pal Everett Fitzhugh, the radio voice of the Seattle Kraken, is going to join us. Always love chatting with Everett, one of the good guys around the sport. And interesting Seattle news. They're right in this sort of playoff push with the Calgary Flames. We got word today from head coach Dave Hakstol. Alex Wennberg will not play for Seattle. He is being held out due to ongoing trade discussions. No more details on that, but we do know the Kraken will be without one of their top nine forwards as trade deadline week is officially underway. Shan and Cam, my outstanding producers on this Monday edition. Fan feedback line open to you at 960-960. Along with Everett, we'll check in with Emily Sadler for some trade deadline topics around the NHL. She's a regular contributor to Sportsnet.ca. And Mondays, a new edition of the 32 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick. Will hear the latest on the Calgary Flames on trade deadline week from Jeff and Elliot coming up in hour two. We, of course, start with a game day for the Calgary Flames. It's the Flames and the Seattle Kraken. Calgary looking for their sixth straight victory. And we got some news to tell you about today. Connor Zeri, day-to-day with an upper body injury. So the Flames have recalled Matthew Coronato from the AHL's Calgary Wranglers. And doesn't look like Coronato will get into the lineup tonight. He and Dennis Gilbert skating late as healthy scratches. So your projected lineups per our pal Pat Steinberg, the host of Flames Talk and the host of Flames Hockey here on Sportsnet 960. Your lines and pairings look like this. Kuzmenko gets the bump up to Zeri's spot with Kadri and Pospisil. Mangiapane, Backlund, Coleman, Huberto with Sharangovich and Hunt, Pelche, Rooney, Dewar, D pairings, Hannifin, Weegar, Shillington, Anderson, Osterley with Pahal, and Jacob Markstrom will get the start in goal for the Calgary Flames. Did want to note it is a 7:30 puck drop tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. So Flames warm up with Steinberg starts at 6:30 with the latest on the Flames and the Seattle Kraken. And while I'm excited to look ahead to tonight's game, talk to you about what we've seen in warm-up and hear from head coach Ryan Huska in just a few moments. Have to take a second to, you know, congratulate the Calgary Flames and congratulate Mika Kiprusoff for Saturday at the Dome. If you weren't there, if you watched on TV, if you weren't there, you were lucky enough to be one of the 19,289 in attendance. It was just, it was everything you could have hoped for. The video narrated by the great Peter Marr, hearing from Jamie McLennan, his Mika Kiprusoff's longtime goaltending partner and clearly still good friend. The stories, hearing from Mika himself, it was first class from the Calgary Flames organization, as it should have been. Mika deserved every accolade and every congratulations that he got during the week, and Saturday. It was just a really special night to see that banner go up. It's a long time coming. You know that if you spent any time in Calgary during Mika's tenure, if you just picked up on him as a new Flames fan, you probably learned pretty quickly this week. The media is not, it's just not Mika's thing. It's not that he doesn't like the media or doesn't like talking to people. He just never wore the spotlight in the same manner that others do. It just wasn't his thing. But he took it all in. I thought he handled it with grace and class like you expected him to. And the crowd gave him the rousing standing ovations. The Kippers were incredible. Daryl Sutter was in attendance. Dion Phaneuf, Jerome Iginla, to just name a few that were there. So really just a hats off to the Flames organization for an incredible ceremony on Saturday. And a congratulations once again to Mika Kiprusoff for everything he did. And it's great to see that number 34 banner hanging up at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And I can't wait for it to take its place alongside with the remainder of the retired numbers and the Forever of Flames that sit up there in the Saddledome. And we'll eventually have a new place in Calgary's next arena as well, because important to remember the greats that have come to be in Calgary when we get to that new arena as well. So that's something to look forward to as well. So great from the Calgary Flames on that perspective. Sure looked like it was going to be a dud on Saturday. I can't lie. First couple minutes were okay from the Calgary Flames. These are tough games. Your entire process is thrown off, but you have to give the Pittsburgh Penguins a lot of credit. They're in the midst of a weird situation themselves. Big game for them. Ceremony clearly didn't affect them. They had their legs going. The Flames did not. And when it got to 3-1 in the third period, I know I was looking around going, I don't know if this is one of those nights where the Flames have it, but all of a sudden, you know, keep working, keep the legs moving. One good thing happens, and that belief just shoots through that Flames bench. And all of a sudden they go, yeah, we can do this. There's no reason to sit here and think that we can't. And all of a sudden, you know, Nazem Kadri pulls off a goal of the year candidate and fires the crowd back up, a crowd that was just itching for any reason to cheer on Saturday, already jacked up from the Kiprusoff experience earlier in the night. They were willing, they wanted something so bad to happen, and just for the most part, it just didn't happen. Then Kadri, just this unbelievable move, goes to the far side of the net. Sneaky good play from Jonathan Huberdeau, too, in front of the net to take away a stick as Kadri's cutting across, finds it, puts it at the back of the net, his 22nd of the year, and then all of a sudden, less than a minute later, Katy Perry's ringing out in the Saddledome once again because the Texas Tiger starting to find his scoring touch again right in front of the net. Blake Coleman, 25 on the year for Coleman. Like, this guy's going to hit 30 goals this season easily. And the game's tied. And you're going, okay, this is, where did this come from? Where was this group for the first 50 minutes of this game? And the momentum just keeps going and going. Mike Sullivan calls a timeout. It doesn't work. His team clearly wasn't able to pick up the momentum again. And sure enough, Michael Backlund, as you heard from Yegor Sharangovich on the intro, sneaky little play, you know, catches Chris Letang, not really paying attention. Chris, there's under a minute left. Might want to move that puck a little quicker. No? Okay, fine. Backlund takes it from him. Great presence of mind. And who else do you want? really in that spot this year, right in the slot like that, who do you want shooting that puck? If it's not Kadri, I guarantee you it's Yegor Sharangovich. Just another laser beam. Top corner, good night, 4-3 final, and the salute that Mika Kiprizov deserved, a victory on his night, and 5 in a row. I know there hasn't been this massive leap up the standings, and for some that's frustrating, but at this point it's not even about that for me. I just look at this team and I love the resilience. I love the fight. Standings be damned at this point. Trade who you want to trade. I know it's going to catch up. I know at times that group looked like they missed Chris Tanev, and they're going to miss Noah Hanifin. I get that. And I do, again, think that the long-term future is what we're talking about here in Calgary, but I can't help but be impressed. They took it all in. They just continue to fight. No one in that locker room is waving any sort of white flag. They know what's happening. They know what's going to happen. And they just continue to shrug it off. And I can't help but think that, you know, the guys leading the way in that locker room, the Kadris, the Colemans, the Backlunds, you know, are just continuously, and there's more guys than that. Markstrom's in that group as well. But they're just refusing to let it be the storyline that defines them. And I love watching it. It means that there's exciting hockey every night. It means that, you know, you can go into the third period down a goal or two and not know what the final result's going to be for the Calgary Flames. And at a minimum, that's what the fans deserve. And look, maybe it doesn't result in a playoff spot, but it's good to see this group continue to fight despite all of the noise and everything going on around this group. So, again, looking for 6 straight tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome. It's the Flames and the Seattle Kraken. 7:30 puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Coronado called up. Zeri day-to-day with an upper body injury. Coronado will not play. It looks like he'll be in healthy scratch alongside Dennis Gilbert. Let's check in with the Calgary Flames following morning skate at the Scotiabank Saddledome. We bring you the latest from the Flames locker room every day here on Sportsnet Today, starting with the head coach, Ryan Huska, his thoughts ahead of a big game for the Flames on Monday night.
Brian, I guess we'll just begin. A lot of talk from the players we just heard was, even through all the trades and all that, or at least the comments leading up to the trade deadline, the mentality of this group and the veterans were kind of leading the way. Can you talk about that and describe maybe even some of the moments that you've seen throughout your time of a team that's just mentally dialed in and keeps on doing what they need to do to become successful despite all the noise?
Yeah, I think it's probably because we've seen it all year. So it's nothing different, nothing new for us. And you mentioned the older players. They've been the guys that have been the best guys with it. So they've been around it before. They understand this time of year. They know what comes with it. And they've done a really good job of bringing the younger players along in that area.
Oliver has mentioned that throughout this time, and I'm sure winning helps, but they try to keep the vibe and spirits up by having a laugh and just getting along with each other. Yeah. What do you do around this weird time where fingers could be coming and to keep yourself sane? What does the coaching staff do?
Same thing we do every day. Like, again, it's a day on the calendar, but we look at it as game day. So we don't change how we prepare based on what may be coming 4 or 5 days down the road. So we as coaches, we stay the same.
Is there a part of you that just like wants Friday to get here as soon as possible? Like, are you as tired of it?
It's a good question. But like I said, I just feel like it's been something we've dealt with all year long. It went right back to the summertime of the draft with Tyler getting traded for Sharon. It's been from that point. So it's almost like, you know, we don't talk much about it. We talk about it here. You know, so we've had it. It's been around forever, so it's nothing really different for us.
What's it like when maybe friends or other family members try to bring it up to you? Like,
I don't often talk to them about stuff like that, so they know often not to ask those questions. I typically won't answer anything.
Ryan, two-part question. Any update on Connor Zeri? And yeah. What would you like to see from Andre Kuzmenko in that spot?
Yeah, Connor we thought was going to be all right, you know, and sometimes the next day they don't respond quite as well, so he won't be in the lineup for us tonight, but it is a short-term thing. And with Kuzi, it's the pace of play, you know, and you almost feel like Connor and Kuz are similar type players. but different. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's the pace of play that he has to play with. He has to be around the puck so he has impact, and he's able to use the skill set that he has the right way, which is those short little cutbacks, being hard on pucks down low in the offensive zone, and shooting. So he's got to move his feet and make sure he's in positions to allow that to come to the forefront.
And you've seen this, you know, from the AHL standpoint as well, when you were coaching down there. Like when Matt Coronato's been up recently, it's been up for a few games, or maybe just up for one game. Is there a different sort of maybe urgency that clicks with a guy when he realizes, oh geez, this could be sort of a limited time opportunity for me?
I think so. And I think he's seen over the course of the year that there's different people that'll go back and forth. So but there isn't at the same time. Like, I think he's done a really good job in the American League. He's been consistent. He's on the scoreboard every night, which is something that we want to see from him. That's part of his development. And he's learning how to play a full season against professional players that are much older. And it takes a lot out of a young guy that comes out of university that doesn't play a lot, just based on their schedule. So this has been an adjustment for him. So coming off a heavy game yesterday that they played, he's got a chance to get his catch his breath a little bit today, and then we'll look forward to having him back around our team.
You've talked about trades, whatever, the whole thing presents opportunities. Braden Pahal is a guy who's come in and has had an opportunity.
Yeah.
How do you think he is adjusted, and what have you liked about the way he's taken advantage of that opportunity?
I think he's been excellent. He's a good Canadian, Western Canadian boy, and you almost know what you're going to get from one of those players. And the one thing that we do like about the way he approaches the game is he's physical. He knows who he is, and as I've mentioned before, he just doesn't rub guys out. If he has an opportunity to hit someone, they're going to know he's coming, and I think that's added something to our back end that we didn't have a lot of before.
Right, I saw a lot of players in the AHL who are top six guys in that league, but their game didn't translate to being bottom six guys in this league. Dryden Hunt is a top six guy in the AHL, and has played top six and bottom six in the NHL. What allows him to do that?
Experience. We've talked a lot about Dryden here over the last little bit, but his experience of I think from a younger guy being a skilled player and junior, scoring a lot of goals, to being someone like you talk about with Matt, he's been up and down a little bit, where those players have to find a way to make sure that they, I know how I have to get myself to the NHL, and I know what I have to do to stay there. So if it means you're slotted on a fourth line, there's a role that you have to play, and he takes pride in doing that. When he gets opportunity to play up in the lineup, the skill set that he does have allows him to play there. But the great thing that we like about him is he doesn't lose the kind of edge that a fourth liner needs to have, and I think that's what's allowed him to play some shifts with some of our more skilled players.
Ryan, I know you've talked about Blake's leadership throughout this season, and this will be kind of similar to the first question today, but after the Pittsburgh game, when he comes out and sort of declares, we're not here to pack it in and talk about the future or look toward the future, is that a little bit of a snapshot of what he's doing behind the scenes?
Sure. Yeah, the short answer for that one would be for sure. And that's a lot of whether it's listening to what he says around the room or watching him prepare and practice and play games. That is what he's saying for sure. So,
Ryan, you might not have gotten the headlines from the way the game finished the other night, but can you maybe just speak to what Michael Backlund has done, given the tough matchups that he's always getting on a nightly basis, but in particular the other night for you guys?
Yeah, it's every night, as you said, especially at home. We always play him. It's no surprise who he's going to play against. But the great thing about him is, you know, you start him in his own zone a lot of time, he and his line mates. But they're also the line that generates typically the most for us, 5-on-5. So he's been excellent for us. You know, and you look at older players like we've talked about, you need them at this time of the year, and he's been consistent for us.
What did it mean to see that Jeremy Poirier was, it's been a long time that he was able to get back out there yesterday for the Wrangler?
Yeah, you're happy for him, because you never know with those type of injuries, and doing everything right. He had the proper equipment on, and it just, it was a bad luck situation. So it's nice to see him get back on the ice again, and probably more so for him. Like, you think of the grind a guy's got to go through every day to get himself back into a position of play, and when you're working things back like he had to. You spent a lot of time with our trainers, so I'm sure he was sick of them and they were sick of him, so it was nice to see him back on the ice.
Were you surprised at how fast he got back?
Yeah, actually a little bit. I didn't think he'd be playing until a little bit further down the road, so good on him, because that just means that he's put in the effort and the time to get better.
What are the teams that you're battling with for a playoff spot? What are you going to have to do to have success against them tonight? Yeah,
very similar to what we saw in Pittsburgh, the way they play the game. They're a pressure team, so we didn't handle it well for the first couple periods. So it's a good thing, I think, that we saw that a few nights ago. So it'll give us a chance to be a little bit more prepared for that.
How important has it been to get to lean on Noah Hanifin in critical moments in games this season? He seems like he's elevated his game a lot.
He has from day one. I feel like since he's been here, he's gotten better. When he came in as more of a I should be in all these offensive situations guy, to now he's comfortable being a guy that's used in all situations. And that's part of development and growth. So he's done a good job with that. I also think our staff has done a good job with that in helping bringing him along.
Off the ice, have you seen him evolve over the years, just as a professional, as a man from when you first saw him here?
I think maybe the last word, he's turned into a man. You know, he's a young guy when he came here, even though he's played a ton of games, but he continues to grow and get better and better.
There you go, checking in with Flames head coach Ryan Huska on a game day. You heard there Connor Zeri. Nothing serious, but it will keep him out of the lineup for Monday's game against Seattle. Andre Kuzmenko getting the opportunity up the lineup with Kadri and Pospisil. We'll hear from Jonathan Huberto and Oliver Shillington a little bit later on in the program. But first, a quick look at the text line at 960-960. This text comes in, says Noah Hanifin, almost 28 minutes time on ice out against Pittsburgh. It was another one of those games where they relied heavily on Hanifin, 26-40, so right around the 27-minute mark. There's just no replacing that. It's going to be tough. I jokingly said, you know, no Tanev, no problem to start things off. I mean, there was a notable adjustment for the D-Core. All new pairings on Saturday. It took some time, right? You saw Oliver Shillington with an increased workload. His first game over 20 minutes in a long time. It took some learning for him. Mackenzie Weegar, 25 minutes, 22 minutes for Rasmus Anderson, and then 26-40 for Noah Hanifin. What happens to this group when that 26-40 goes away? You know, Dennis Gilbert only played 9-13 on Saturday. It's probably why Jordan Osterley is getting the shot Monday against Seattle, because they need to find guys that can take on some more minutes once number 55 gets dealt. This text comes in and says, the Flames are like the Terminator logo, taking a licking but keep on ticking. This text says, amazing game and ceremony on Saturday. Don't dream it's over. We will make it. Former Sportsnet producer Alex Brody, always thinking about himself, said, did you get me a Kipper Cup logo? No, I did not. I told you I wouldn't, and I'm a man of my word. And I definitely did not.
I have two, Alex. I'll give you one.
Yeah, you can get one from Shan. Shan was inebriated and falling over himself in the press level.
Of $100.
Yeah. Shan grabbed everybody's Kippersoft shirt around him and is trying to sell them on Facebook Marketplace as we speak.
Yeah, I'm trying $100 a piece.
Yeah.
I don't know why everyone was so angry. Mm. I showed up earlier than them.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Typical. This text says, nice to see Kipper receive the recognition he deserved. Theo Fleury said some controversial things when he left the Flames, but he deserves to be retired too. I would agree. I think on ice, there's no question Theo Fleury deserves to have number 14 retired. And Sean texts in saying, hey, Logo, you think Mika went to the locker room between second and third and gave the team a win one for the Kipper speech?
No.
I would bet no. No, I'd bet no. Sean, I don't know that in his entire career, Mika was the kind of guy that spoke up in that way. He just let his play do the talking. I don't even know what a Kipper, and this isn't even a shot of you, I don't even know what a Kipper intermission speech would sound like.
Do better.
It'd be like five words. Maybe he would just stare at everybody. That's what he should have done. He wouldn't even need a speech, Sean. He would just actually walk into the room and that fancy suit he was wearing on Saturday and just kind of stare at everybody, right? That really intense look that he has. Dead silence for 2 or 3 minutes, and then he'd walk out and they'd know they had to do better. That's what I imagine it would have been, but I don't think he would have done it. Wedley says, did Logan get Alex Brody a Kipper pin? I couldn't even get a Kipper pin. Wedley, I walked out of there with a hat, and I had to fight five people for it. I'm just kidding. I didn't fight anybody for it. But I was at the game on Saturday just observing as a fan, and I went to the Fanatic stores, which our pal Brent Gibbs does a great job of taking care of. I kid you not, you couldn't grab anything that had 34 on it in the stores. They were flying off the shelves. There were jerseys, pins, hats, cups, anything with 34 on it was flying off the shelf. This text is amazing ceremony for the legend 34. It got me emotional. Proud Calgarian moment. Go Flames, go. I think Kipper was even a little bit emotional.
I almost cried when he came out.
I think the waterworks were filling up for Kipper. What it looked like from my perspective, for sure. This text says, I was awesome watching the Kipper ceremony. I wonder if Kipper had a nice big bowl of soup for dinner beforehand, Shan. Because Kipper believes soup is a meal.
Yeah, there's no way Kipper had soup before any games because he would have not played well at all.
Nope, he did.
That is not something an athlete can have and have a good performance.
He did.
Nope.
Carter from Auburn Bay says, do you think Craig went in during intermission threatened to hire Daryl Sutter again if they didn't improve their play? Maybe Daryl Sutter just went in. Remember me?
No, yeah.
Just kidding.
I believe that. Honestly, I loved that he got a pretty good cheer.
I don't know why people were surprised by that.
Yeah.
The guy was still a tremendous coach during his time and did so many great things. He's still a great member of the community, still in Albertan. I was surprised how many people, Daryl Sutter got a big loud ovation. He brought Kipper to Calgary. That's one of many things he did. Yeah, the last coaching stint didn't go great. Oh, well. Still has a long legacy here in Calgary. What else? Brett in Calgary says, yes, retire Theo's 14. I've been saying that since 06. This says, I worry about Coronado. When he signed here, it was under the impression he'd be playing with the big club. Thoughts? I hear the reasons, but I hope it doesn't sully his enthusiasm. Yeah, just quickly on the Coronado front, I wouldn't have any worry. There just really isn't a natural spot for him right now. And to be honest, he's been killing it in the American Hockey League. If you wanted to be worried about Coronado when they sent him down, if he was struggling with the Wranglers, I could start to feel some of that worry. He's a top nine, top six type guy in the NHL. They just don't have that natural spot. They're not going to waste developmental time with Matthew Coronado in a fourth line spot, take over for Walker Dewars 9 minutes a night. It just doesn't fit. They're trying to find a spot for Andre Kuzmenko now to be a productive right side shot. I think a year in pro hockey for Matt Coronado with the Wranglers and eventually at times like this, seeing some time with the Flames, I don't think you got anything to worry yet. I think he's doing pretty good. Check out those numbers. He was killing it. He still is killing it. I saw him Sunday at the Wranglers games. Still doing really well there. I think Matt Coronado's well on his way to a successful NHL career. We'll see when he gets in, if he gets in during this recent recall. We're going to take a break, though. We'll come back on the other side, taking a look at the opposition tonight with our pal Everett Fitzhugh. He is the radio voice of the Seattle Kraken. Interesting times around Seattle. We'll dive into all that next when Sportsnet Today returns. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Yes, Monday night at the Scotiabank, saddled on the Flames, going for their sixth straight win. They'll welcome in their Pacific Division rivals, the Seattle Kraken. Always fun when the NHL's newest franchise comes to town. Flames have a surprisingly good record against Seattle, despite losing last time out between these two clubs. They'll look to continue that tonight. Jacob Markstrom gets the start in goal for the Calgary Flames. 6:30, Flames warm up with Pat Steinberg. 7:30, Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson have the call. Flames hockey here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Help us take a look at the opposition tonight. The aforementioned Seattle Kraken. No one we'd rather chat with than our next guest, Everett Fitzhugh. You know him as the Seattle Kraken's radio play-by-play announcer. Everett, thanks as always for the time, sir. How you doing?
Hey, man. Always a pleasure. Love talking to you. Things are going well, man. It's the most hectic, nerve-wracking week of the NHL calendar for a lot of teams. So all things considered, it's going pretty well.
Good to hear. Let's talk about the news of the day. We heard here in Calgary from Dave Hakstol that we won't see Alex Wennberg tonight when the Flames take on the Seattle Kraken. He's being held out for trade discussions that are ongoing. I guess that's kind of just part of the game this week, as you sort of mentioned, with the trade deadline coming up on Friday, and Seattle in that very similar spot as Calgary, St. Louis, and Minnesota, where Yeah, you're pushing for a playoff spot, but you also kind of have to realize where you are in the standings too, right?
Yeah, and listen, you never want to admit defeat. You never, you know, you could be 12 points out in the last game of the season and you still have a chance, right? Like, you never want to, you know, San Jose mathematically still can make the playoffs. So you never want to admit it. But I think going into this week, when you look at the ground that you have to make up, the number of teams that you have to still play, and there's not a whole lot of points available against the Nashvilles, the LAs, Calgary, Minnesota, St. Louis in that mix. So I think if you're Seattle, you know, you need to start planning for that future. You have a number of guys on expiring contracts who may be attractive, enticing to other organizations. So again, it's an unfortunate part of the business because you've gotten to know a lot of these people personally. You've got to know a lot of their families. I think for our fan base, you know, you're still an expansion team. Although it's year three, a lot of these players, you know, you were drafted with. Some of these folks that are finding themselves in trade conversations, you know, it's so-and-so's favorite player because the first hockey jersey I ever owned was an Alexander Wenberg or last year a Morgan Geeky, Ryan Donato, players that left in the offseason. So there is always the human element to it. There's always that personal element to it. But at the end of the day, everybody in that room will tell you it's a business. But I think with the number of guys that are going to be up on expiring contracts at the end of the season, from a business perspective, it does make sense to start looking at options to help improve your team for the future.
We've had a ton of noise around us here in Calgary, obviously, with some of the pending UFAs that Craig Conroy's had to deal with. And it's interesting you bring up some of the guys around Seattle, and I wonder how much noise around the team that you've started to hear, Everett, and how much might come up this week, because I look at Seattle, Alex Wenberg, obviously a very interesting piece, but, you know, a guy like Jordan Eberle, I got to wonder if you weren't a playoff team, you know, heading into the next couple of weeks here, how enticing it would be to look at a guy who wears an A for the Kraken. Justin Schultz is another UFA, and Seattle's maybe one of those teams that's, I don't know if you'd agree or not, kind of flown under the radar with some of these UFAs, it feels like, the last couple of weeks.
I think so. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not just blowing smoke here. This coaching staff, the management group here, they keep things pretty tight-lipped. And even us as play-by-play broadcasters, us as the PR staff, whatever, we're not privy to a lot, right? We'll find out maybe right before they make a move. But, you know, we don't hear a lot of the rumors. So everything that we hear is courtesy of an Elliot Friedman, right? Of a Frank Saravalli, the pundits who are out there. So the names that you hear are the ones that I think we all have heard. Justin Schultz, Jordan Eberle, Wenberg, Tanev's name has now come up in recent days. Tomas Tatar, who the Kraken acquired from Colorado earlier in the season, his name is now being floated back out. You already mentioned Justin Schultz. I can speak on Jordan Eberle because having been around him for a while, you know, he and his wife, he genuinely likes playing in Seattle, and there has been discussions of him potentially, you know, working on an extension, right? You know, those conversations are out there. So I think when it comes to a guy like Jordan Eberle, who's a really good locker room guy, I think there is an appetite out there for him, but I don't know if Ron Francis really wants to move him unless there's an offer that he can't refuse out there. You know, teams have called on Yanni Gord, and he's told them flat out, no, we're going to keep Yanni Gord. Doesn't sound like there's going to be any movement in the top six or the top four, rather, defenseman group. So, you know, a name like Adam Larson, his name kind of bubbled to the surface a couple of days ago. I think those have been squashed as well. But you never really know unless you're in the locker room, you're in that group. I mean, you can be a fly on the wall as much as you'd like, but a lot of those conversations and a lot of those names that I'm hearing, that the collective we are hearing, are the same ones that we all have heard of. So there really isn't a whole lot that I can provide in terms of that. But, you know, there are those conversations going on with players who are coming up on expiring deals.
What is Ron Francis look to accomplish in these kind of deals, Everett? Is he looking for guys that maybe he can add going forward for the group? Is it purely, you know, futures and picks and prospects if he does go down trading some of these UFAs?
You know, Ron Francis, if you look at his track record going back to the Carolina days, he is a big believer of the process. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you look at a lot of the players that Ron Francis helped grow in Carolina and look at what they're doing now, either still in Carolina or with other teams. I mean, he has a proven track record of growing talent, of drafting well, of scouting well. So I don't foresee a big splash coming back to Seattle in terms of a trade. Now, talk to me on draft day, right? You know, those draft day deals that could get done. But I do think that from a trade deadline perspective, you now want to see if you can get assets, whether that be picks, whether that be live bodies, players, prospects, whatever, that you think can help you moving forward. This is a team that has a really solid base in terms of picks and prospects in the system. So are those available, or do you want to see those pan out? You never know. So I think for Ron Francis, I think picks, I think prospects probably are going to be the route that he wants to go.
For a Seattle team that maybe surprised last year and did as much damage in the postseason as they did, Everett, I think maybe some are wondering why they're in the position they are now, fighting for a spot in the Western Conference. If you were to sort of look and say what the difference has been maybe between last year's group and this year's group to this point, what would you sort of point towards?
I think a couple of things. I think last season you had 13 players who had career highs in either points, assists, or goals. I think that's a huge piece of it. You had a lot of offense coming from all up and down your lineup. I think this season you get rid of your entire fourth line, who signed, you know, lucrative free agent contracts other places. Ryan Donato, Morgan Geeky, Daniel Sprong, they accounted for 101 points of offense. Daniel Sprong had 11 and a half minutes of ice time a night per average, and he got 46 points last year. So I think when you lose that production, it hurts. I do think there is a bit of teams taking Seattle lightly last year. Mm-hmm. Here's an expansion team that didn't do well their first season. You know, we were no Vegas Golden Knights. We understand that. We went into the year knowing we weren't going to be the Vegas Golden Knights. So I think last season, and a number of players and folks on the coaching staff will tell you, the Kraken saw a lot of backup goalies last year, a lot of number two goalies last year. So this season, you're not really getting that. I think the Kraken put the league on notice for the caliber of player that they have. So I think there's a number of factors that go into it. I also think, you know, for the second consecutive year, you had a major goaltending injury to Philip Grubauer. So now, you know, he was out for 2.5 months. Joey DeCord did a great job this year coming in to you know, stem the help turn the tide for Seattle, very much like Martin Jones season. And you've kept Seattle into that playoff race. So I think it is a number of factors as to why Seattle's not been able to get back to that place from last season. But the core is still intact. I think that philosophy is still very much ingrained in this organization. So moving forward, you talk about where the Kraken can maybe improve. If you can get another big piece up front in your top six forward group, if you can get a big piece down the middle, whether that be through trades, free agency, or, you know, is Shane Wright in the American League? Is he ready, right? He's doing a really good job down there in the AHL. I think there's a number of ways this team can improve, but, you know, I genuinely believe this is a Kraken organization that is maybe one or two pieces away from getting back to the playoffs, from having a contending division championship team, and can make some noise in the postseason.
I wanted to ask you about Matty Beniers, because I think that sort of falls into what you just said there, Everett. And last year, a lot of teams maybe not taking Seattle as seriously as they should. And it sure feels like, just getting ready for tonight's game, that, you know, Matty Beniers is maybe one of those guys that teams are taking more seriously this year. Yep. And saying, look, we're not We're not going to give an easy matchup to this young guy. He had 57 points in 80 games last year. The total's down. He's at 24 points in 55 games. But everything I've read, it certainly doesn't sound like anybody's panicking in Seattle about this. If anything, no. It sure feels like the rest of the league's adjusted and is making note of Matty Beniers when Seattle comes to town.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think, you know, Matty Beniers is still, he's still very much the player that this organization drafted. He's still very much the guy that is you know, going to be featured long-term in this team's plans. But when you take a young player, his first year in the NHL, he has that 10-game tryout essentially 2 years ago when he made his debut here in Calgary. He had 9 points in his first 10 games. Last season, he comes in first half of the year and runs away with the Calder race pretty early, but then you started to see the numbers dip a little bit, that production start to fall off a little bit. But I think it's because, you said it, the league is adjusting to Matty Beniers. So you get through the end of your first season, a lot of young players, you know, they want to wipe their brow and be like, all right, you know, good first year, I can do this. This is pretty, you know, this was a good year. But then the league starts to adjust for you. And then, you know, now you have to adjust for those adjustments. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he's now having to learn the league as the league learns him. And over the last week or two, maybe even month, I think we're starting to see flashes of the Matty Beniers we saw last year. He's putting it together on a consistent basis. So Matty's going to be fine. I'm not going to lie to you. The only people that were really panicking were, you know, a couple of fans in the fan base. But this organization knows the kind of player that Matty is. He is still very much a first on, last off guy. I cannot tell you how many times the Zamboni has chased this guy off the ice on an off day. He takes every optional skate. He's out there first for, you know, working with Eberle and McCann and Jaden Schwartz. His locker stall is in between Eberle and Schwartz most times. So he understands what it takes to have success in this league, and he's doing everything that he can to make sure that he's got a very long but most importantly productive career here in Seattle.
Everett, before I let you go, would love, I know there hasn't been a lot of roster turnover for this group, but maybe for us here in Calgary, we're going to be at the game or watching tonight, somebody that maybe flies under the radar in Seattle that you think is worth taking an extra look at tonight in this matchup.
You know, I think Will Borgen has really come on defensively for this team, and he does a lot of things very quiet. Here's a player who his first season, he sat out 25 games in a row. I want to say 22, 25 games in a row. He was healthy scratched, and he played all 82 last year. And he is developing into a player who was the subject of trade talks last season, 2 years ago, to now being someone that I think is going to factor into this team's long-term plans on the blue line. So I think Will Borgen is someone that a lot of teams have taken notice of. I think, you know, again, depending on who you listen to out in the media sphere, you know, Will Borgen's name came up in the trade discussion, you know, this year, and Ron promptly said, no, thanks. We're going to keep number three right here. So Will Borgen, someone I would keep my eye on, not only tonight, but I think in the future as someone who can factor in mightily into this team's plans.
Love it. Everett, always appreciate the time, sir. Great insight, as always. Appreciate you taking some time up here for us. Enjoy the game tonight. Have a great call. I'll pop into the Dome and say hi to you at the Dome a little later tonight, pal.
Looking forward to it, man. Thanks so much.
Take care. Everett Fitzhugh joining us, the voice of the Seattle Kraken, down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline for a look at the opponent tonight. It is the Seattle Kraken, 26-23-11 this year for Seattle. They are in tough in the Western Conference playoff picture, looking to skim down one of those wild card spots, but same as Calgary. I mean, a win tonight and Seattle is tied with Calgary for points, but everybody 7 points minimum back of Nashville now for that final wild card spot. And as you heard, as I mentioned coming in with Everett, beginning of the conversation, Dave Hakstol telling reporters, the head coach of the Seattle Kraken in Calgary on Monday, that Alex Wennberg is going to be sitting out due to ongoing trade talk. They've got a couple other interesting UFAs that they could move. So maybe this week the Seattle Kraken, one of those teams that determine whether they're a buyer or a seller ahead of Friday's deadline. And feels like there's a lot of teams that could probably fit into that this week. What happens with Minnesota, St. Louis, Calgary? Those are the four teams kind of chasing down Nashville. And as good as a team like Calgary's been, winners of five in a row, Nashville's won eight in a row. They've widened the gap somehow. You've won five in a row, and somehow you've lost ground if you're the Calgary Flames. And that happens with St. Louis. They're 7 points back. Minnesota's eight. You're nine back if you're Seattle. Like, it's starting to get down to the point where you got to make some noise. You got to make some serious movement in both the Western and the Eastern conferences if you're going to lock down one of those wild card spots. Again, appreciate Everett joining us. If you want more from Everett on the Seattle Kraken, you can find him on Twitter at The Voice Fitz. One of the great guys in hockey. Can't wait to see Everett tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Really great guy covering the Seattle Kraken and doing a great job as their radio play-by-play announcer. We will take a break. We're going to come back on the other side. More on the NHL's trade deadline. Lots still to come this week. Trade deadline week is here. We've got you covered here on Sportsnet 960. All of our trade deadline coverage locally with the Big Show, Sportsnet Today, Flames Talk. We're going to get you everything and anything trade deadline on Friday. And it's brought to you one of our great sponsors, Calgary Lock and Safe. This season, trade up to all-star levels of security with cutting-edge locking hardware, master key systems, and access control solutions. It's time to make a strategic move and secure your destiny. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Emily Sadler from Sportsnet.ca joins us next. We continue to hear from a couple members of the Calgary Flames on a game day and the latest from Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast when Hour 2 kicks off next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.